Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In Liberty Hill, Texas, today is May 3, 2014, or as if 5, 2018, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, No Not One. There's not a friend like the lonely Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No, not so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. Did every saint find a friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Our sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our trouble. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one, no, not one.
Calling of the Vanguard of Brother W. Johnson, 1998. We're on page 19. And as usual, we're going to do a little review. And I want to once again mention about Yahweh's covenant that he made with Abraham. And he said in his oath unto Isaac, and had confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Okay. Step by step, Yahweh made the covenant with Abraham, and an oath unto Isaac. And Abraham's son by the promise. And confirmed the same to Jacob for a law. And as I told you earlier, that the night that Jacob wrestled with the angel is when it was confirmed to him for a law. And as soon as the angel blessed him after that all night of wrestling, he says, you have prevailed. The angel said to him, and now your name is no longer Jacob, it is Israel. Okay. So until we come to the place where we prevail and wrestle with the angel to get our name changed, and our name then will be Israel. It's like Jacob's way. So to arrive at that distinction and honor, to be actually called Israel, a true Israelite, will be quite an achievement for everyone that said the seed of Abraham through Isaac. And then he said he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. And unto thee will I give the land of Canaan as a lot of your inheritance. Okay, now, so that is also our inheritance today, is the land of Israel. Well, we have to prove ourselves here in another land, away from the land of Israel, where we have been raised up. Jacob, he got his 12 sons and out in another land, outside of the promised land. He had to go to another land, and he obtained his 12 sons, that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and then he brought back, and then he came back with them to his father's house in the promised land. Okay, now we're going to continue on here with the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, the church name until their kingdom. That's what Brother Johnson says here on page 19 of his tract. Plainly then, her name must express the truth she advocates. That is, the keeping of the commandments, the second advent of Yahshua, and also the restoration of the Davidian kingdom according unto prophecy. Hence, the logical name that would represent her work from this time down until the time that the kingdom is set up is to be Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So, the Adventists had obtained a new name in 1930. And the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists are the only ones that Yahweh recognized as representatives of the Adventist Church from 1930 on. Okay? And that Davidians was represented by the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so it's actually Judah and Benjamin together. So Yahweh only recognized the tribe of Judah, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, as his representative for Israel here in these last days. A name that testifies of the kingdom message, of the keeping of the commandments, of which the Seventh-day Sabbath is a part, and of the second advent of the Yahshua. And that is taken from 2 TGR 34, page 24. Okay. And page 25 also. Now, thus, it is seen that the name DSDA, that's Davidian Seventh-day Advent, is to be the church's name down unto the time that the kingdom is set up with the house of David. I added that part. according unto the type, could never be during the Shepherd Rod period. Okay. For it was the antitype of John the Baptist in which no kingdom was set up. Okay. So, it's amazing that John the Baptist in the type, the forerunner of Yahshua, and he was telling the people that came to the baptism there on the banks of the Jordan where John the Baptist was preaching. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand." Okay. So when Yahshua showed up and for his baptism along with the rest of them, John just got through saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand," and there it was. Yahshua coming, representing the kingdom. And then he told John to baptize him, because he said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, so John the Baptist did set up the kingdom. You see, with Yahshua. For the kingdom, you see, was set up in the type by Yahshua the Messiah. Well, in essence, this is true. 3.5 years after he began his ministry. Well, I don't see that, because when Yahshua started his ministry, as after his baptism and his 40 days in the wilderness of fasting, and then coming out and being tempted of Yahshua, then he began his ministry. Okay, and so he went and chose the 12 disciples. And for 3.5 years, the kingdom was in operation. Yahshua put it in operation. Okay. And a new name was given unto the church after the death of John the Baptist. Likewise, the kingdom and the antitype was set up in 1974. 3.5 years after the Isaac Branch ministry began, and a new name was given unto the church that would testify of the work that it was called to do. For the Isaac Branch being the next great movement after the Shepherd's Rod, the one that is to bring the revival and reformation. Okay. So now, I'm making it evident that there is no type for a revival and reformation to take place during the Shepherd's Rod period. We can rest assured that the branch revival and reformation combined with the living spirit of prophecy will be a success. Now watch this. With the living spirit of prophecy. Now, who represents the living spirit of prophecy? Antitypical Elijah, when he comes on the scene with his message, he's the one that brings revival and reformation. So here's a prophecy Brother Johnson was making in 1998 that would meet its fulfillment 4 years later with Elijah David as the antitypical Elijah and calling for a revival and a reformation on July 14, 2002 to repent. The message was to the prophet, Brother Johnson, repent, get rid of your filthy garments and get the people ready for the atonement. That's the announcing of the revival and reformation that Brother Johnson is talking about. So let's read that again. It says, making it evident, as he said, the one that is to bring the revival and reformation, making it evident that there is no type before a revival reformation to take place during the Second God period. Notice he said, the one, the O-N-E, the one that is to bring the revival reformation, which is Elijah. So he said, okay, thus we see that the church was to receive a new name in 1974. Notice he put that past tense adverb was, meaning that it didn't receive a new name, even though Brother Johnson might have given it a new name. No longer be called the Vidian Seventh-day Adventist, an antitypical Ishmael, was sent away in 1975, showing that the church division of Seventh-day Adventists had ended. Now, isn't this something? He said, by sending Broden away in 1975 at the New Mount Carmel, we went out there that on the Day of Atonement, gave him a going-away party. But you know what? Broden didn't go away. He still stayed out there. And was out there until he died 3 years later, out there. So, Roller Johnson said that the name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist came to an end in 1975, when we gave Ben Roden his going away party. Well, in conclusion, let us summarize the two main points which our study of the afternoon has definitely made clear unto us. Number one, that a work of a movement similar to those of Zechariah's day is successfully to bring revival reformation among Elohim's people up to date, that those who expect the promised blessing must wholeheartedly enter into it. Number two, that without the living spirit of prophecy in our midst, I notice it says right here, without the living spirit of prophecy in our midst. In order to have the living spirit of prophecy in your midst, you have to have the antitypical Elijah show up with a message to call for revival reformation and telling you what the new truth is that you have to adhere to. Okay? That without the living spirit of prophecy in our midst, there can be no success in any revival reformation. And that the sooner we know it, the quicker we shall achieve our goal. 1 TGR 10, page 27, paragraph 2. For the personal names of the patriarchs, by which various movements of the past were named, were changed as time went on. Abram, you recall, in the process of the time, was called Abraham. And Jacob, being named Israel, then too, the congregation of the Moses time was called Israelite. At the Yahshua's time, it was called Judean. And after that, Christian. No, that's wrong. Number one thing about it, in Yahshua's day, the name was Branch, coming out of the root of Jesse. That was the name of Yahshua. He was called the Apostolic Nazarene. Okay. Judah was always there. Judean was not a new name. Judah, the tribe of Judah, was run by the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the cross. Even before Yahshua was born, the Jews occupied Jerusalem there, the tribe of Judah, representing the tribe of Judah. And after that, Brother John said Christian, but no, after that was apostolic, Nazarene. Finally came the time that was either Catholic or Protestant. Well, now that has a merit there, then either Lutheran or some other. Each one of these was the offspring of the old. Not those who lag behind, but those who march on with the messages of the Yahweh. As time goes on, are always recognized by the heaven as the congregation planted. Then her name must express the truth she advocated, that is, the keeping of the commandments, the second advent of Yahshua, and also the restoration of the Davidian kingdom, according to the prophecy. Hence the logical name that would represent her work from this time down to the time that the kingdom is set up is to be a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. A name that testifies to the kingdom message of keeping the commandments of which the seventh-day Sabbath is a part, and of the second advent of Yahshua. 2 TGR 34, page 24. Okay, in March of 1968, the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, teach my people the government of Yahweh. This I have done ever since. In July of 1969, the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, your biblical name is Creation Calendar, that you can use interchangeably with your family, a name to show the work that I will give you to do. So make my people a biblical astronomical calendar so that they can obey my laws and call the calendar Creation Calendar, and set up a non-profit religious organization with the U.S. government called Creation Calendar Research and Publishing Association. Okay, this I did in 1970. Now, what about this? Did Yahweh tell him to do that? Let's see, so that they can obey my law and call the calendar Creation Calendar and set up a non-profit religious organization with the U.S. government. Well, and Brother Johnson, that's what he did. He took out a 501c3 so he can get permission from the IRS to not have to pay taxes, and that his members of his church could be able to declare their tithes and offerings as tax exempt, so they could, when they file their income taxes, that they could use and deduct their tithes and offerings from their taxes. And that's what Brother John set that up for. Well, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they didn't even sit up with the federal government. They didn't take out a 501c3 until 1980. Even the Seventh-day Adventists didn't do that. What was Brother Johnson doing running ahead and doing that in 1970? The Seventh-day Adventists knew that they didn't have to have, by law, didn't have to take out a 501c3. To be recognized as a non-profit. It says the IRS says that's a voluntary thing for religious organization and charity organization. That's only a voluntary thing if you want to do that. But there's no law in the IRS says you have to do that. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists didn't, and the only reason the Seventh-day Adventists started doing it in 1980 was because they had sued somebody that had pulled off from them and went and started another Seventh-day Adventist church using the Seventh-day Adventist name, and the Adventists sued him. And the judge told the Adventists at that lawsuit, says, you can't do that. It's not legal because you don't have a federal ID number from the government. You can't sue your brothers over using the Adventist name. So the Adventists said, well, If we have to have a federal ID number to sue our brethren, we better go get one. So that's when they went and got a 501c3 and a federal ID number, about 1980-81. And so here, Verda Johnson, in 1970, says Yahweh told him to do this. No, Yahweh wouldn't have told him to do that because that's been contrary to what Yahshua told Peter when they ask him, do your master pay tribute unto Caesar? And Peter popped off and said, yeah, he does. And Yahshua says to Peter, well, go down and take up a fish. The first fish you take up, take a sixpence out of his mouth and go pay your dues to Caesar. And so Yahshua turned to those Pharisees and he said, render unto Caesar that be Caesar and render unto Yahweh's one that be Yahweh's. Showing that Yahweh's kingdom doesn't go into partners with Satan's kingdom here on earth. But Brother Johnson didn't understand that, and so he was marched to the drumbeat of another voice at this time. Can you imagine setting up Yahweh's calendar, Yahweh telling him what to do, giving him instructions how to set up a calendar, and at the same time Satan is whispering to him and telling him, well, now if you set this calendar up, you're going to have to get a federal ID number, and you will have to set it for the government. Okay. Well, that's where Brother Johnson went wrong. That's what put his whole movement on a downhill course. He diverted off right then and there to a side trail. In other words, he went down a rabbit's trail, not knowing where he was going to go to, and came to a dead-end street one day. Okay, because see, before I left down in Kermit, Yahweh gave me light there in the late 90s on this here IRS number that Brother Johnson took out for us. And they asked me one day, they said, you pay taxes? And I said, I sure don't. I don't file no nothing with the IRS. Because I said, it's a voluntary thing. For all citizens and church members of any organization, it's just a voluntary thing. I choose not to volunteer to participate in their corporation. That they don't even have they're not even listed in the federal registry as an agency of the government. They have their headquarters in offshore in Puerto Rico because they're not allowed to have it here in the United States because they're not an agency of the federal government. And so I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, they're going to catch up with you one day and you're going to be in trouble. I said, no. No, I won't. So anyway, I spent a whole hour with the verse of Lame reading to them all about this IRS and why they were in the wrong for taking out an IRS number. And Brothers agreed with me. He said, well, we've been doing it, you know, for all these years. But he said, if Lame wants to rescind it and not use it anymore, I'm going to leave it up to her. Lame said, well, you know what I'll do? If you leave it up to me, I'll continue doing it. Brother said, well, okay. So Brother Johnson approved on her keeping on using this IRS federal ID number to keep operating as a non-profit organization. Okay. Now, just like when I brought Brother Johnson that book, Fossilized Customs, showing what birthday celebrations was high to the abomination of idolatry, of worshiping idols, as you could do, because it's showing that you're calling for self-worship of yourself on that day and to be recognized as a god. So when people exalt themselves to have a day set aside for them, that's what the gods do. And said, you've exalted yourself as a god. And I told him, and I said, it's right here in Fossilized Custom. And he took that book and brought it and took it home, and him and his wife read it and brought it back and said, well, Yeah, we know what it says, but we're going to continue doing it. We're going to do it for social reasons with our family. And so he continued doing that. So everything that I present to him in the way of documented proof that those things were wrong, those are two things right there that he said, well, we're going to continue doing them anyway. Alright. So, it says we have to have the living spirit of prophecy in our midst. That's our next subtitle for our subject by Brother Steady Johnson, 1998. We're on page 20. It says, without vision, you see that people perish. And also without an interpreter and without faith, they likewise perish. And this is why. The spirit of the prophecy is of the absolute necessity unto the people of Elohim in any generation. 2 TGR 24, page 20. Okay, vision, interpreter, and spirit of the prophecy is necessary. Through the inspiration of the Elohim, the prophet Micah gave the future prophecy, and thou, O tower, shepherd of the flock, and the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, under thee, parenthesis, shepherd, shall it come, even the first dominion, for the kingdom shall come unto the daughter of Jerusalem. Micah 4:8. And putting 1 TGR 39, page 13, with the Micah 4, we conclude that the Isaac Kingdom Church is the daughter of Jerusalem. And I agree with this, that the Isaac Kingdom Church is the house of David, not the house of Esau, as Willis Johnson was running at the time that he made this prophecy. Or he brought this shift of truth out. For the kingdom comes to the one church that is recognized by the Elohim and the prophets. Okay. So I told you that earlier, Yahweh recognized the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists from 1931 as being the spokesman for his true house of Israel church from then on. Because they were of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and it's time for them now to be the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church from 1931. So, it says the kingdom comes to the one church that is recognized by Yahweh and the prophet. Alright, who are the prophets recognized as the one true church? The house of David. Ever since Yahweh made a covenant with David, about 1000 B.C., that he would establish his covenant with David and his kingdom as an everlasting kingdom, it would simultaneously be called the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of David at the same time. And that's what all the prophets were taught after that. All the prophets that came after David, they only had one focus, only one true church, and that was the church that is the church of the covenant. And that church was first organized, recognized with Abraham by a covenant and a promise and an oath unto Isaac and unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. That was a house and the kingdom of David that all the prophets recognized. So here Brother Johnson is coming along and saying, the one church that is recognized by Yahweh and the prophets. Alright, now, Willis Johnson had the antitypical King Saul kingdom. And what did Yahweh tell Samuel? Go tell King Saul, if he had been obedient to all my commandments and stayed obedient, I would have established his kingdom forever. But because he disobeyed me, tell him that I have rejected him from being king, and that his kingdom is only a temporal kingdom, and it will come to an end. And he said, I will set up my kingdom with his neighbor that is better than he is, someone that I have personally chosen myself and had anointed, and I'm going to establish my kingdom with his kingdom forever. And that was David. So when Brother Johnson makes a statement here that the one church that is recognized by Yahweh and the prophets, that's the house of David. And Brother Johnson is teaching against and fighting against the house of David there in 1998. He'd been fighting against the house of David ever since he denounced Ben Roden as crowning himself King David over the house of David in 1970 at Pentecost, the very year that Brother Johnson had his beginning. He criticized and denounced that. And now he's come along saying, the kingdom comes to the one church that is recognized by Yahweh and the prophet, and that it is fatal to reject these facts. Well, when I told Brother Johnson in 2002 to repent and get rid of the filthy garments and get the people ready for to get their sins blotted out, what was that getting them ready for? To usher them into the everlasting kingdom of David. Because, see, the everlasting kingdom of David didn't come into being with the anointing until the atonement of 2002, and that was the very day that the kingdom, King Saul, antipical King Saul, and Ahab, and Esau came to an end on the Day of Atonement. The kingdom of Esau came to an end, and antipical King Saul, on the Day of Atonement, at the very time that antipical David's kingdom was born. Thus you are brought to a very important decision. It's up to you to make the right one. If you follow the foregoing facts, it should be easy. One thing to remember is that you either become a part of the Ark of Safety, the Isaac branch, and that would be the Isaac branch. See, the Isaac branch was also born because it had come to full maturity by the atonement of 2002. Isaac the branch was born 32 years earlier in 1970, but it grew up to maturity and was ready now to take on the leadership role of Yahweh's, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And so it came to maturity and it began its ministry at the atonement of 2002. So he said the Isaac Branch Kingdom Church, C1 TGR 39, page 17, page 13, are a part of the image to the beast system as shown in Revelation 13, 1-8. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yahshua. Revelation 14:6-12. For the following 26 paragraphs are taken from 1 TGR 8, page 22. Okay. And page 27, paragraph 3. Paragraph 1. Zechariah 3:1-4. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And Yahweh said unto Satan, the Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Yahweh that hath chosen Yahrushim rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with a filthy garment, and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Paragraph 2. The first one to be given the garment is Joshua, the high priest, the highest official in the church. Okay, so when the garment was changed in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, It was changed at the time that the message came from heaven through me and said to the prophet, repent, restore the daily, get your filthy garments changed, put on the clean white linen, and get the congregation ready for the atonement two more months from now. So it says, for the first one to be given the garment is Joshua. Well, I was representing Joshua because, as Vita Hala pointed out, that this Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, is antitypical of David. So I was in that position at the time, and so therefore, I'm the first one to get that garment. Now, why is that? Because I'm the one that the information was revealed to about how to get this clean garment, which would be clothed upon that house in heaven. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. That you got to be clothed upon that house from heaven. And that's the sanctuary system. In other words, you have to have your sins completely taken away. And the only way that I had my sins taken away at that time was because I signed a crime against the abominations being done. Now, that's what got rid of my sins for the time being. But I have to be clothed upon that house from heaven in order to keep my sins taken care of on a daily basis. If I have any sins that need to be taken care of on a daily basis, it's certainly by clothing myself with that house from heaven, the sanctuary system. So now it says in paragraph 2, it says the first one to be given the garment is Joshua, the high priest, the highest official in the church. If he has not the garment, then no one else has it either. So Brother Johnson is saying, well, I'm this here Joshua, I'm the highest official in the church, I'm still in charge of the candlestick, so therefore I'm the highest official here at Gilead Center, in which he indeed he was. From this we see that the genuine revival reformation starts at the head. With who? With Elijah. And typically Elijah is placed at the head, not at the feet. Okay. And that before one is given the right to put the garment on, his iniquity is taken away. Now notice Rose Johnson made a mention about the head and not the feet. Well, you know, it said that little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands, and Daniel 2, 44 and 45, strikes the image on the feet. So, this little stone has become the head of the kingdom when it was hewn out of that mountain. And that represented the house of David with Elijah wielding that stone. And not at the feet of that image. That was very present. There was Brother Johnson representing the feet of that image, standing in the holy place where they ought not to. And that before one is given the right to put the garment on, what garment? That's that clean garment, be clothed upon thy house from heaven. His iniquity is taken away. He repents of his sins, and Yahweh blots him out. Satan, though, is right there to resist and to accuse him. Accuse who? To accuse this Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, this antitypical Elijah. But thanks be to Yahweh, that the Yahweh is also there to rebuke the enemy. Do you catch the lesson, brother, sister? While you are getting the garment, you will have to meet strong opposition. But what of it? Where does the strong opposition come from? It comes from the former leader of the kingdom of King Saul in the 11th hour. Is it too much to stand firmly for the truth and righteousness when the majority forsake? And how else shall you become a hero for Elohim? Read Matthew 5, 10 and 12, paragraph 3. For the apostles and the prophets not only withstood opposition from their own brethren, but they even gladly died for their white garment. You, though, are not now asked to give up your life, but to save it. For the tables are now reversed. The Yahweh will rescue you as a brand plucked out of the fire. paragraph 4. From this we see that the Joshua of today is having his filthy garments exchanged for the white robes for the righteousness of the Yahshua. Paragraph 5. And I said, let them set a fair matter upon his head. So they set a fair matter upon his head and clothed him with the garments, and the angel of the Yahweh stood by. Paragraph 6. Not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. This is antitypical Elijah. I mean, let's just call it like it is. This is Elijah. And of course, we know who Elijah is. He's a living person that's in their midst. So the prophet is raised up from their midst. Well, he has to have a distinction as an antitype of some character, and so David is the most prominent one here to be identified with. Just like John the Baptist, he never changed his name from John the Baptist. Just because Yahweh said he was the Elijah of his day, he didn't change his name. He went to his death as John the Baptist, not the Elijah. Okay, it says, not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. In other words, he's a king also. He's crowned as a king. That's what the fair mitre is for. And what could such a mitre denote other than the authority vested in him as heaven's appointed ruler? Okay, there you are. The king upon his throne. As such, he is clothed from his head to his feet. And the angel of the Yahweh stood by. What angel? Yahshua is this angel that stood by. What a gift and what a bodyguard for one to have in a world such as ours. In spite of it, though, human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on the Yahshua side. You see, or on the Yahweh side. Most of them had rather lean on a man. Paragraph 7, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, the last movement. The last movement is your eighth one. Brother Johnson thinks that he has the last movement. He thinks that he has a seventh one. Okay, paragraph 8. Not only Joshua, the son of Joseph, that's antitypical Elijah, or antitypical David, actually, in the spirit and power of Elijah, but also those who sit before him. Well, now, V.T. Hollis wrote a tract on General Conference Special in 1950, and he dealt exclusively with this Elijah, and he says he has servants that comes and works for him. And they're called Elijahs also. They got the other names, but they're in the spirit and power of Elijah. Or to admonish to hear this charge. And what kind of men are they? Men wonder that. For this symbolism shows that at the fulfillment of this prophecy, the angel of the church of the latter sin is no longer in charge of the Yahweh's kingdom. Alright, you get that? The angel, Rhodes W. Johnson, of the seventh movement, the seventh church, of the latter sin, is no longer in charge. Okay. Paragraph 9. Obviously then, as a result of this revival reformation within the latter sin church, notice that as soon as the revival reformation takes place and a change of the guard takes place, the church receives a new name. It's no longer called Laodicea. Now, what does Laodicea mean? In the Greek, it means a people declaring judgment. Well, for the judgment of the dead, yes. Now, the new name is Mount Zion at the 12th hour, House of David. And what does that mean? People mean declaring judgment of the living. Okay? And it means that they are declaring as time for the harvest time now to start taking place. That's your new church. Judgment of the living and announcing the harvest. Harvest event is a result of revival reformation within the latest in a Seventh-day Adventist church at Gilead Center. Another church emerges of which Joshua and typical David, Elijah David, is in charge. Not the angel, Willis W. Johnson, of Let Us Hear. In it, there are to be neither terrors, Matthew 13:30. And that's true, as soon as the church was separated down at Kermit, what happened? Separated the sheep from the goats. The goats was left out there to continue on with their so-called kingdom of the 11th hour. And the sheep moved on to another feeding pasture. Okay. Bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48, are ghosts, Matthew 25:30. For the latter sin, the seventh, is the last that is commingled with the hypocrites, saints and sinners. See there? So the latter sin, the seventh church, that's representing the seventh Adventist, is the last one that's commingled with hypocrites. And what does it say that servant that's in charge of that candlestick there in Matthew 24? When he come find so doing, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? He said, so he's going to take that slothful servant that is in charge of his goods, and he's going to cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. So here it is right here. Saints and sinners are represented there at the 11th hour at Gilead Center. All right, that's the last one, though. Paragraph 10. Who is to bring this revival reformation, this great change? The branch. What branch? The Isaac branch. When did the Isaac branch begin? It began when it grew up to maturity in 2002. Actually, it began at the Solemn Assembly in 1999 when the Isaac branch representing Yahshua's voice spoke to voters and said, lock the doors at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock and sanctify the congregation. That was that voice from heaven. That was from the Isaac branch, which was Yahshua. That's the one that spoke to voters on that day. Because the Isaac branch had come to maturity at the age of 30 years old, which was another name for Yahshua. And according to Isaiah 11:1-5, the branch, the Isaac branch, is the Yahshua, verse right here in his own writing, the son of David. Okay? So that was the one that was speaking to Volus at the Solemn Assembly in 1999 and told him to lock the door at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock and sanctify the congregation. We shall now read Zechariah 3:9. Paragraph 11, verse 9. For behold, that's the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Yahshua of the host. Now, I have proven before from the V.T.L.'s writings that this Yahshua of the host, I used to use it interchangeably with Yahweh of the host, but Yahshua is really, he is the master of ceremonies for the 144,000, and that's the host that we're talking about here. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Okay, a day for a year. So, Yahshua, Yahweh the Father also, started removing the iniquity of that land of Gilead's center, starting at the Passover 2002 and ended at the Passover 2003, a day for a year. Took a whole year to remove the iniquity of Gilead's center. In other words, you had to have an atonement. You had to have the cleansing of the sanctuary to close out the one movement, the last step of the genuine movement, which was the third step of Seventh Day Adventist, and to start the first step of the genuine movement for the house of David in the 12th parabolic hour. Paragraph 12. Those who sit before Joshua are men one of them. As such, they are depicted by the stone church, or kingdom, that is in the Joshua site. It has 7 eyes, perfect vision. When this purification of the church takes place, then the sin in the land is quickly removed in one day. Okay, then told you what that one day was. 2002, Passover to Passover. Okay. Paragraph 13. Here is seen genuine revival reformation accompanied by the purification of the church at Gilead Center. So what church is purified at Gilead Center? Laodicea, the seventh church. It is purified by removing the tares, by removing and separating the goats and cutting them asunder and putting them and leading them out into the wilderness where they were already in the wilderness. Just led them out from the temple out to the outback, and that's where they left them to be ravaged by the wild beasts that would take them away. So Yahshua is to have a pure church and a clean people. Okay, here it is again. Here is seen genuine revival and reformation by the Elijah David, and typical Elijah, accompanied by the purification of the Gilead Center, the seventh church. The Yahshua is to have a pure church and a clean people. That would be the house of David. Paragraph 14, verse 10, in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Paragraph 15, in that day, in the day this purification takes place, the gospel work is to be quickly finished for the Seventh-day Adventist Church with the three angels' messages, and it will be taken up anew with the house of David with the fourth and fifth angel, having joined the third angel in the eighth movement to start the judgment of the living in the 12th parabolic hour and to prepare for the harvest of not only those that are living, but also those that are in their graves to be resurrected, cleared back to Adam. They have an every member, is the gospel work is to be quickly finished by having every member of the house of David, which is Yahweh's house, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, call his neighbor to his own patch of land, to that which Elohim has preordained that everyone should have. Every member, therefore, is to be a missionary in one capacity or in another. This indeed is a layman's movement that shall finish the gospel work in the 12th parabolic hour under the 8th movement with the house of David. This brings the close of our studies. Our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that is number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Because he lives, Yah sent his son. They called him Yahshua. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the
living just because he lived. And then one day across the river, up at last joy war with pain. And then as death is way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.